Can you tell me what your name is and the church that you attend?
I am Victoria Sherry, and I attend St. George Orthodox Christian Cathedral in Wichita, Kansas.
And how long have you been a member there?
I have been at St. George for 12 years now, but I've been a part of the larger Orthodox community for 28 years. So.
Have you attended other Orthodox churches in Wichita or
no,
the country?
No, elsewhere. Okay. Kansas City, Topeka, and Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Okay.
So St. George is actually my fourth Orthodox community.
Okay. Were you predisposed to this religious tradition? Did you grow up in it? Were your parents Orthodox?
No.
No. How did you become Orthodox?
Well, this is where I'm probably an outlier in terms of people you're interviewing, because I grew up in the classic secular home where there was no religious tradition at all. And so I never attended a church. I never knew anything about religion. But if I asked questions, my parents would say, well, when you get older, you can choose a tradition. You can choose a religion if you want. But they didn't feel any need to do that. So we grew up without a tradition, which on the one hand was very freeing because I had friends who spent a lot of time in church and, Sunday school and all these things, and, it seemed kind of burdensome, and, we kind of do whatever we wanted to do. But as I got older, I found it more frustrating because I wanted to know what these traditions were, and it was hard to start from nothing to work up there. But one thing I did learn was that my family was Mennonite heritage, so my maiden name was Foth, and that is it's a Mennonite name.
Yeah.
And I learned that my grandfather had left the Mennonite faith because he wanted to serve in World War I. Yeah, so that's pacifist. Mm-hmm. And then he married someone who was not Mennonite, and that was pretty much, he was shunned after that, even though, he's a great person.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know we were Mennonites, although we had this very obviously Mennonite name until I started talking to my grandfather. Well, then I started getting curious about religious tradition, and particularly once I got in college. I attended Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. And most of my classmates were Jewish. And I discovered that they had a very definite identity and that I didn't. They sort of knew who they were and where they belonged. They had this 6,000-year-old story that they were very comfortably a part of. Even those who were atheists felt they belonged to this story. I just thought, that is so cool. So I kind of went on a search, trying to find trying to learn about religion and see if there was a place for me in it. But I found it discouraging because every time I would learn about something, for example, Judaism, I learned quite a bit about Judaism from my friends, and I went to Passover Seders, but at a certain point it just hit me like, but I'm not Jewish. That is not how I was raised. It's something that's in your, in your being, from the time you grew up, and I don't have that. Okay, so I kind of went through this with some other religious traditions that I won't go into. And finally, at the very end, I thought, well, maybe I need to look again at Christianity, because that was obviously the dominant religion, but I had sort of rejected it as something that I couldn't really relate to, partly because I'd only seen the Protestant version of it. I did visit some Catholic churches, and I thought, well, these are really beautiful churches, but I felt, again, like I just didn't really belong there. There was something kind of off-putting about it. So I've kind of been on this quest for a while, and eventually, I guess this leads into the next question, who influenced me in my religious tradition. I met a professor at Washburn University. I grew up in Topeka. Who said, I said, well, I think I'm interested in Christianity, but, I can't relate to Protestantism, and I'm not relating to Catholicism either. And he said, well, what about Orthodoxy? And I'm like, what is that? Okay. And had never heard of it. But I had been starting to read the work of René Guénon. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a pretty famous universalist scholar of the 20th century, and he's really writing about the commonalities among all religious traditions. But unlike ecumenists today, his emphasis was on how you had to follow one tradition faithfully if you were actually going to be, you know, a religious person. You couldn't just say, well, I'm going to do a little bit from Islam and a little bit from, you know, Hindu and a little bit. That's no good.
Yeah.
So I started reading about Orthodoxy, and I thought, sounds pretty interesting. I met someone from Australia, James Cowan. He's an author. He was a friend of Arthur's who was Orthodox. He was erudite, you know, an intellectual, a writer, world traveler. And I thought, okay, if this person can be Orthodox, and he had converted to Greek Orthodoxy, then maybe I could too. So gradually I finally got to the point where in 1991 I first visited an Orthodox church and was just blown away by it. It's just, this is like nothing I've ever experienced before. So it was really an incredible discovery for me. Because by that point, you know, I was at a point in my life, I thought, you know, I'm just not a religious person. I'm kind of a, sort of thought of myself as a failed religious person. You know, I had looked and looked and kind of checked stuff out, but I was always kind of on the outside. But the interesting thing to me about Orthodoxy is, and I want to go back to the thing about the Mennonite background of my family, is that the Mennonites spent 200 years in Ukraine, which they, a place they visited for, you know, religious freedom and freedom from conscription, ironically. And they were surrounded by, in Ukraine, by Orthodox culture and also by a very vibrant Jewish culture. And it seemed like the people that I've always been drawn to have been Jewish and Orthodox. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that just felt like, you know, maybe that was just meant to be, you know, it was meant to end up here. And I wanted to do some more research on whether some Mennonites ever became Orthodox, but I couldn't find a lot of documentation about it.
At what age did you find yourself most comfortable in the Orthodox Church?
Well, when I was 34 years old, I was baptized. I'd never been baptized before. I was baptized Orthodox.
Do you have a family?
Yes.
Or did they convert with you?
No.
No?
My brother came to the baptism. My mother didn't. She hadn't baptized me as an infant. She wasn't interested then. She wasn't interested now. But my brother came, and which I thought was really nice of him. But my family was very open-minded about it. People will often say, it's really funny when I hear Christians, you know, they'll say, well, you know, our child so-and-so, it's just too bad they left the church. I just think my family probably sat down and said, yeah, we don't know what happened. You know, she went and became religious.
Yeah.
We don't understand it, but we still love her. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that sounds funny, but I have a great family, and they've always been very supportive, but they've never really shown any interest in the religious part.
Okay. Can you tell us about your current employment, how long you've worked here, and where you've worked previously?
Yes, I'm at Eighth Day Books. Now I've been here for 12 years since I moved to Wichita, so the same period of time that I've been at St. George. Before that, I started out, my background is in environmental history, but also I got very, I was very drawn to the humanities and interdisciplinary pursuits. So I worked for the Kansas Museum of History. That's where I learned a lot about local Kansas cultures, but nothing about the Orthodox. I didn't know there were any Greeks, Arabs, anybody with Orthodox background. But I did learn a lot about ethnic traditions in Kansas from that experience. Then I worked for the Kansas Natural Resource Council, which was an environmental group. And after that, I worked for the Kansas Humanities Council, and again, working in the field of cultural programming and continuing to learn more about local history in Kansas. A lot of the groups we worked with were museums. And then finally, I was part of the founding of a museum called the Heartland Orthodox Christian Museum. So that would really be the first time that I was actually working in a field that had a religious connotation, but it wasn't simply a religious institution because it was also a cultural institution. And it was in Topeka, and we spent several years organizing it and doing background research on the history of the Orthodox in Kansas, of which there were four primary groups, Greeks being the largest, just in general in the U.S., Lebanese, which is the community in Wichita, Serbs and Russians. So the first, you know, two out of those three groups are in Kansas City, and then the Arabs and the Lebanese down here. Mm-hmm. So that was when I first started traveling to Wichita, visiting St. George, getting to know people here, even though I was a member of the Greek church in Kansas City.
Okay.
So, but I learned a great deal. I did oral interviews with people who were second generation. Their parents had come from Orthodox countries and had settled here. And it was just fascinating. So we did a series of exhibits at the Heartland Orthodox Museum to focus on the heritage of Kansans of Orthodox background, but also looking at the interaction of religion and ethnicity. So it kind of drew on my work in local history and my interest in Orthodox religion to sort of research and create these exhibits.
Okay. Are there any existing exhibits that we can find online right now?
I have all the panels from the exhibits saved, but I don't think there's anything online right now. The Kansas Museum of History, after the museum closed in 2004, they took some of the panels that we had created and circulated them around as traveling exhibits. So, for example, the exhibit on Arab Christians in the Heartland was on display at the Wichita Sedgwick County Museum. Okay. But then they returned the panels, and I don't know where the panels are now, but I have, you know, some versions of them in my personal possession.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're out there, and, you know, and then the research that I did, which we'll get to later, led to some of the books that I've done since.
Okay. We're going to have to wait on that. This might be a unique take from your position, but what do you believe makes your faith tradition unique, and what draws people to this tradition?
Well, again, because I'm kind of an outlier, those are two really different questions.
Yes.
I'm sure that other people like Father Paul and Warren have told you what draws people to the tradition was this sense of history, the sense of this being a, you know, a very ancient faith, very unchanging, in a sense, conservative. That's attractive to many people. Now, none of those things were what attracted me to it. Now, I came from a much more experiential perspective. I wasn't looking for an idea to believe in or for a series of doctrines that I felt were like watertight and could, you know, stand up. I really wanted to know that there was a divine presence in the world and that, you know, I could get closer to that. And that had never happened to me in any of the churches or meditation circles or, you know, any of the Quaker meetings, any things I'd been to.
Yeah.
But in the Orthodox liturgy, there's a very mystical presence that is, like I said, I went in there, I was just like, I've never experienced anything like that. And 28 years later, I still, every Sunday, I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe this is happening and this room isn't packed because it's just so powerful. So to me, that it's really that liturgical spirituality that's really centered on worship. It's really centered on being present, on being silent and yet never silent. If you're in a liturgy, you don't say anything for an hour and a half. Okay, everyone's quiet except maybe when you recite the creed and the Lord's Prayer. You're very, very quiet, and yet constantly the choir and the chanters and the priest. You're kind of in this worship space that really sort of leave the time and space where you are. And you enter into this very transcendent world. And one of the concepts in Orthodoxy regarding liturgy is that it's a mirror of the liturgy in heaven. That we know that heaven is a constant state of worship, and the angels are in constant state of worship, and we sort of join the angels at a certain point.
Angels,
we're like,
and archangels and all the company of heaven.
Yeah, they're like celebrating with us, and we're celebrating with them. And so, in a sense, you're outside time. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, like, I wouldn't say that it's conservative in the way that we think of conservative today, because it's beyond any categories that are in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's timeless, it's transcendent, and that is just so important to me. Because I just am looking for something very deep, I guess.
Okay.
So, that's an answer.
Okay. You already touched on this a bit, but what formal education have you received? When and where?
I earned a Bachelor of Arts in 1980 from Hampshire College. So that's my formal degree, and it's one of those unique schools where you can put together your program any way you want. Mm-hmm. So mine was a blend of history, literature, and political science. I've probably done the most in history, but I've always done a little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you continue your education?
Yeah.
I love that one because the Humanities Council, I worked not only for the Kansas Council for 11 years, the Wyoming Council for 3 years. Their whole theme is that learning should be lifelong and that you shouldn't confine learning to being enrolled in school. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person in my family who doesn't have a master's degree because I felt like I've already gotten one several times over, just on my own, studying independently, and that's thanks to the education that I got.
Okay.
So I continue my education by reading and by continuing to learn about this culture in Kansas that's so little known, I guess. I mean, Kansas is kind of off the track in terms of well, you're researching yourself. You know that.
This is the first time I'm coming across it as well. So.
Yeah.
Not as well, but it is very unknown. I guess the next two questions kind of blend together. What work have you published regarding the Orthodox community, regarding what work is going to be published for the St. George Orthodox Cathedral? Can you just give us a summary of your work?
Well, there are two books that I've worked on. One is Wichita's Lebanese Heritage with Dr. J. Price at Wichita State. That came out in 2010. And it, although it was not strictly focused on religion, you can't tell the story of the Lebanese in Wichita without including the religious dimension of the community. So it was mostly a photographic work published by Arcadia. They do a lot of, it's kind of a package deal sort of book where you submit photographs and captions and they put it all together. But we had a chapter on faith and family and a lot about the church because that is really what gave this community its identity. And the same was true, the advantage I had is working in these different communities, the same was true with the Greek community. That the church, maybe people who came weren't extremely religious, but in the U.S. it became the center of the community. It was what really held people together because there they were, foreign language, people who weren't necessarily accepted. Both the Greeks and Lebanese were considered to be non-white, so they experienced a lot of rejection, by the larger society, but they were eager to become established here. And so the church was a place where they could sort of be with people who were like them, and really have a shared identity. And so the church was as much about identity as it was about religious belief. But then there were people who were very religious and to whom that was very meaningful and defining of their life. Before the Arcadia Press book, before Wichita's Lebanese Heritage, had published an article on Greeks in Kansas and Western Missouri in the Journal of Modern Hellenism. So I took some of my research and interviews I had done with Greek immigrants, Orthodox immigrants, and put it in that article. And again, it's very church-centered because most of the people that I interviewed I knew through the two churches in the Kansas City area.
Okay.
Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church and St. Dionysius Greek Orthodox Church. So it's kind of been this ongoing process where I've been building up this since about 1999, building up a body of interviews, collected photographs that many of which are now in the State Historical Society collection, and articles and stories, and then really moving to Wichita in 2007 gave me an opportunity to focus again on this community. I had already done some oral histories here. But I had an opportunity to, meet more people, to learn more. And so that led in 2018 to this project that we're just finishing now at St. George Cathedral called St. George Cathedral, the First 100 Years. It's a centennial history of the church. And so it, unlike the other book, which Las Lebanese Heritage, which focused also on the businesses that were started, the different enterprises that the Lebanese became involved in, it really focused on how that church was built up. And so that is, in a lot of ways, it's sort of, to me, the most interesting thing that I've done, because it focuses particularly on the life of faith and how they kept that alive and expanded it from very humble beginnings to this, you know, to a cathedral that stops traffic on 13th Street when people drive by. It's so spectacular.
Yes.
You know, how did a little immigrant group, you know, with just really poor origins, how did they get here? And how did they credit, you know, their faith and their love of God as being part of that?
Okay.
So we really have a lot of fun with that book. And it will come out in September.
Very boring questions. What was the title again? When is it coming out? And
it's
who
called,
helped you?
It's called St. George Cathedral, The First 100 Years. And Rod Learned is my co-author. So the two of us wrote about half of it.
Okay.
And then I took a lot of the photographs I had been collecting and new photographs that I found. And St. George has archives, but they weren't organized. Mm-hmm. So part of what I ended up with was all of the St. George archives in my home office, and I went through them and copied photographs and took excerpts from stories that, you know, that no one had probably seen in many years because they'd just been sort of stashed away. So I hope that when this is over, we'll have an archive at St. George, but that's another chapter.
Okay.
But the main thing was to celebrate the centennial of the church. It was founded in 1918. It was 2018. It had been in existence for 100 years, and we thought it was time to tell the story of the church. And we had a lot of input from a lot of people, a lot of personal stories as well as kind of an overall narrative. So I hope it will be well received.
What prompted the project?
It was
Other than
asked,
100 years.
Yeah, I was asked to participate.
Did they know of your work history, and that's why
right,
they asked?
Right, because okay. That St. George was part of the consortium of churches that founded the Heartland Orthodox Museum. So I had worked with Father Paul as a museum director before I ever was a parishioner.
Okay.
And Rod Learned is also a parishioner at the church, and he had been involved in some of the earlier versions of history, like, I don't know, maybe around the 75th anniversary, I think he put together a little video. So I watched his video when I was doing my research for the museum. You know, it's kind of like we've been piggybacking off each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were just asked to do it, and we're like, okay, we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
But it really was, it was much more consuming than, you know, we thought it would be, but I think it will be an effective story. It's not a deep, deeply religious story, but it's one where religion is constantly there.
Okay.
So you're telling the story of an institution, but it's not an ordinary institution.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the church and your main employment, are you a member or volunteer elsewhere?
Well, my husband and I both volunteer every month at the Lord's Diner, and that's with the St. George. It's one of the St. George outreach ministries, mm-hmm. So we do that every month. We're also involved in our neighborhood association. You know, kind of little. We really like local stuff.
Yeah.
But I am not as involved in in historical institutions as I used to be. So.
Okay.
I should be a bit.
Do you find Does working here help some of your studies?
I think that the way that Warren organizes books, I'm always learning. I used to say you can learn just from the spines of the books because the titles are so interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a Kansas and regional section, and because I work here, I've been asked to give, you know, talks about the Lebanese. I've given talks, you know, around here. I think I've done some. Well, I've done talks about the Russians in Kansas City and the Greeks. So, it's like I get asked to do presentations partly because working at Athey Books is sort of like a
status.
It's not like working at Barnes & Noble,
yes.
Let's just say that. Because it's a more discerning bookstore.
There's a status to it, I think.
So. Yeah, yeah. And people tend to come here and work here for a long time. And
mm-hmm.
We tend to be kind of nerdy.
Yeah. So. That's right. Okay. Do you have anything else to add about your work here or previous work, your professional affiliations, or your faith at large?
Well, you know, I hadn't really thought that much about this question, but as I was talking to you, it seemed to me that I'm really thankful that I've been able to blend together so many of my interests. My interest in sense of place, which is my main subject of my academic research, sense of place. And then combining that with interest in ethnicity and ethnic traditions, and then finally being able to combine those with religious traditions. If someone had said to me in the beginning, "Well, are you going to be able to pull all this together?" I'd been like, "No, I don't think so." But it's really been great for someone like me who's a synthetic thinker. You know, I like to pull different things together, and just to be able to connect, being in Kansas, being a fourth generation Kansan with a very deep religious tradition. I mean, I am 20 miles from where my great-grandfather is buried. You know, near the church that celebrated its 200th anniversary. It was founded in Russia 200 years ago. They just celebrated their 200th anniversary a few years ago. Very deep roots here, and yet I'm also part of a tradition that's completely new to me that I find really inspiring. I've been able to kind of pull all that together, and that's been, it's been an opportunity I don't think a lot of people get. I think there's a pressure in this world today to specialize and to really focus on one aspect of life or of a field or of experience, and as I said, I'm much more of a generalist. I like to see the connections.
Maybe I should ask you one more question. Well, first, why did you move to Wichita? And second, what do you find? I mean, all states, all towns have their history. What about Kansas and Wichita specifically are unique?
Okay. Well, the first question is, why did I move here? We were in Laramie, Wyoming from 2004 to 2007. And while we were there, my husband completed his master's in medieval history. Mm-hmm. So he got a teaching job in Wichita. And we had moved to Wyoming so I could work for the Wyoming Humanities Council. And then we moved here so he could work for the school district here, but it was an opportunity to be part of that St. George community that really brought us here, because we knew so many people connected to St. George and to St. Mary as well. We wanted to be in a place with a really strong Orthodox presence, and Wichita is kind of an Orthodox mecca. I don't think people know that. I mean, Wichita has a very well-respected Roman Catholic community. People all over the country will say, yeah, in Wichita, the Roman Catholics are really a powerful force, right? But the Orthodox equally so. I mean, if you say to someone, well, I'm from Wichita, they'll be like, oh, St. George, Eighth Day Books, you know? And I didn't know I would end up working for Eighth Day, but I did meet Warren in 1991, and he was one of the people that also influenced me as I was on the path to becoming Orthodox. Again, he was a very erudite, intellectual, you know, person. I don't want to say I had prejudice against religious people, but certainly they didn't. And then in the culture at large, they're not portrayed as the sharpest, you know,
yes,
the sharpest knives in the drawer. And meeting Warren was like, wow, you know, this is someone I can relate to. So I ended up working for him kind of by accident. I didn't know where I was going to work when I moved here. So what makes Kansas and Wichita unique? Well, first of all, one thing about Wichita, I said definitely the Orthodox presence makes it unique. And I was going to add to that that as I've studied the Lebanese community in Wichita, I believe it's had a disproportionate influence on this city, partly because of its size. For example, there are probably more Lebanese Orthodox descendants of, you know, immigrants from Lebanon in Los Angeles, for example. But it's a very large city. And so they're just kind of a drop in the bucket. But if you drive around Wichita, there's a you know, there's hummus everywhere. You can get hummus at ball games,
there's,
you know.
There's farhas everywhere.
There's farhas, there's kalmias, there's Avila Library. There's, you know, everything is kind of reflects their presence. And then there's this church, this enormous cathedral.
Okay.
So there's a real sense in which although you can be Orthodox anywhere, that there's a disproportionate presence here, and that's really kind of magnified in Wichita for various reasons.
Okay.
Kansas itself, I think the, and again, this kind of goes back to what I felt like I have had the opportunity to do in my my career in terms of research and writing and creating museum exhibits. I lived in New England, and attended a college and a five-college consortium where we had touring Broadway shows and where there were groups for this and that, and people had organized this and that. And it was like a smorgasbord of culture, and you really didn't have to do anything. You could just kind of go around and enjoy it. When you move back to Kansas, there's a real sense in which if you want something to happen, if you think a book needs to be written about a subject, well, go do it. You know, don't go to the library and see what other people have written, because there isn't anything. And so there's still a kind of a pioneer spirit. I know that's kind of a cliche, but there's kind of a spirit here that if you want to do something and make your mark, you can do it. And so that kind of is reflected in the Lebanese community here, that they've definitely made a mark on Wichita, and that if you want it, there's a lot of room here to do what you want to do. There's really no one kind of holding you back and saying, well, that's already been done, or no one's interested in that, you know?
Yeah.
People here are very open, very interested in topics they don't know anything about, which is something I didn't encounter in New England. It's a wonderful place. It's very vibrant, but, you know, it's also very set in its ways. People know who they're aligned with and what they believe, and, you know, everything's kind of stratified. And you come out here, and it's not that way.
Okay.
So I love Kansas for that reason.
Very good. Well, that is my last question. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So is it like your other interviews are different?